show is about to start.
Reese on the radio.
Turn it up. Turn it up loud.
Turn it up loud.
Like a dream come true.
Turn on your radio. Reese is all over
you. Yo, let's get it.
Due to the nature of this program, discretion does not exist.
It's Reese on the Radio, right now, on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Yeah! Man, oh man, oh man. Let's go! I hear there's fighting out there. They're at each other's throats. I love a good brawl. It's Reese on the Radio on WTIC News Talk 1080. I hear they're out there throwing bows. They're doing drop kicks. People are, you know, doing scissor kicks in the Republican Party here in the Nutmeg State. Let me just give it up for everybody on the Republican side. They are fighting online. I say we just get them in the ring and everybody just, ha, huh, ha, just get it all out there. Look, I'm a pugilist. I'm a fighter. I like a good scrum. That's always been me. And primarily because growing up, I was bullied a lot. And I got my butt kicked quite a bit. I got jumped. Almost got stabbed. Guy shot at me because of something I said about his mother after he insulted mine. Just so you know.
What you say about my mama?
I said something awful about his mama. And he wasn't happy with it. But after he insulted my mother, I guess my line about his mother was far more harsh than mine, than his. But nonetheless, I'm loving it. I'm watching it online. People saying this about the election, people saying that about the election on the Republican side, and people are angry. I get it. I do. I really do understand it. And you want to place blame. It was the reason why I put out that silly post about, you know, let's blame folks, let's have a good cry. I was only half kidding. I said before the election, losing to learn instead of learning to lose. And the war has begun. The inter-party war in Connecticut has begun. So at the risk of playing sides on this, let me do what Reese does best. Take none. Whether they be friends or foes or people I know and people I don't, I'm just going to tell you Reese's point of view here. I don't think anybody knows how to win. I don't think any of you do. And I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, I don't think any of you know how to win. Now, if you take that as an insult, take it. That's your business and that's your prerogative. Why am I saying that? Why am I saying that you don't know how to win? Because winners don't complain. Winners win. Winners just win. And when they lose, winners look inward. That's what we do. We take the L, and if I'm going to, you know, kick a fit, as they say, you know the actual term, but if I'm going to do all of that, I do that in the privacy of my own home. I'll throw the pillows, I'll scream, and I'll stomp, I'll be jumping up in the house. Son of a brain surgeon, man! No one will ever see me cry. I will get on the floor in a fetal position with my thumb in my mouth going, no, no, you're so horrible. But I would never let you see it. I would never let them see it. The fact that anyone can see this infighting
because of anger and frustration. I know it. That ain't winning. Now, I told you, and I'm going to keep saying it, that I know how to win. Why? Because I've punched a few noses, and I've had my nose punched a few times. I pay attention to people's weaknesses. I find out exactly where they are weak, and I exploit it, but not to poke fun or to ruin them. No. To make them do what I need them to do. And that's think of things in a rational way. You have to expose them and then work that exposure. See, a lot of people, and I'll tell you this, this is one of the things that Democrats do. When they got you beat, they laugh and point. They don't learn because the only thing they care about is the victory. Because when they lose, notice how they don't know how to act. What do? They burn stuff down. Right? The whole place goes bananas when they lose because they can't understand why. How did we lose? Well, because the last time when you were pointing and laughing, we were strategizing. That's how we won. Now, for all of you out there who's like, I don't like Donald Trump, ask yourself why he won in 2024. Ask yourself what he did for 4 years when he was out of office. Do you think he sat around and pouted and screamed and hollered at people about why he lost? No. He didn't just say that the election was rigged. He worked out the problem while telling everybody it was rigged. And while you were all focusing, why does he keep talking about the election being rigged? He found a way to win. How? By actually getting people to start repeating the same refrain. The thing was rigged. How do I know this? Try this on for size. After the Iowa caucus, CNN did a video polling folks. And in that exit polling, they asked how many people thought the 2020 election was stolen. And the number skyrocketed. Because again, when people are saying, why is he talking about this? Why does he keep rehashing that? Why is he doing this? What did he do? He built a coalition knowing how to win. We have got to start learning to do that. Learn from the winners. It doesn't matter. It's like this. I would put it to you this way. It's a great way to look at it. New England may be a bad example because a lot of you are Tom Brady or were Tom Brady fans. So I'll talk to the people who are fans of other football teams around the country. How many of you have lost titles to Tom Brady? How many of you? How many of you have woken up and lost the game to Tom Brady and been frustrated at the end of it? Said, damn it, that Tom Brady, he's a cheater. He's this. And the refs are on his side. Same thing with Patrick Mahomes, screaming and hollering. You could do that all day. But are you strategizing to make sure that the refs can't cheat? Are you broadening the perspective of your game to make sure that there are no penalties for them to call? That there are no questionable plays that you can have ruled against you? Are you improving the play against the person you think has got the edge on you? Now, you could sit there and be angry about that team kicking your butt or having the odds stacked against you. By the way, you can all yell at each other while you're doing it. Hey, man, you're not catching the ball. Hey, you're not throwing the ball. You're not guarding enough. You know what? You're not playing good enough defense. Or you draw your ire towards the enemy and you go to beat them instead of beating yourselves. I don't have to tell you this. This is embarrassing that this has to be a discussion. But like I said, I don't think you know how to win. The frustration has gotten the best of a lot of you. The frustration is eating away at you that you've lost focus. You're not learning from the loss. You're learning to lose and just decided you're going to be frustrated about it. Do you know that there's a 6% increase in conservatives in this state? Did you know that? I bet you didn't. With everything that's going on, when everybody's screaming that, oh, it's just becoming more and more blue. Did you know? I know. I'm paying attention. I'm drawing my focus to how we win. I made a promise to you that we were going to come here and we were going to kick ass and take names. I'm not playing with you. I'll do it with you or without you. It's not about gaining your accolades. It's not about you patting me on the back and saying, you know what? That guy may have a chance. I don't need it. I was talking to a woman last night at A.C. Peterson. My wife wants to go there almost every night for ice cream now. Whenever she wants a snack, she wants to go down there, so we went again. And we met a woman who listens to NPR. Her name is Geraldine, and I hope she's listening today. And I asked that woman sitting across from me, hey, why do you listen to NPR? And she just told me. And she explained why. And I didn't even bat an eye. I got to understand why she listens to what I would consider as my competitor. And I listened to her and I understood what the interest was. And I jotted it all down. I need to know what I'm going up against. Not what's holding me back. I could do that all day here on the show. I could say, you know what? Roland ain't doing this. You know what? The station ain't doing that. You know, they're not promoting this and they're not. You know, we need more time on the show. And you know what? This and that. And we need to stop doing breaks. I could do all of that all day. Or I can improve on this very program with what I have and use what I have and make it better. What are you doing to improve what you're doing to make it better? I get the anger. It's frustrating to lose all the time. Huh? I'm a Jet fan. Come on, folks. I'm a Jet fan. Year after year after year. We struggle. We fail. How many games have we won so far, Roland? What do we want? Two? One? We're 1-7, and I still have a jersey. One day they're going to win it all. One day? I say to myself sometimes, why am I still a fan? Why am I still rooting for this team? Because I've got no give up. You can sit up here and say, but Reese, that's football. That's not politics. Politics ain't life. There's a lot more to it. And if you really, really think it is life, then forget about it. You're never going to win. There's a strategy in all of this. I'm going to harken back to something I said when I first got here. I told you in the early parts of this program, and I knew it when you guys made it clear, because you called on the phones and you said it to me. Why do you talk to that liberal this? Why are you talking to that liberal that? You know you're wasting your time. What did I say to all of you? How am I supposed to figure out why they think that way if I don't ask them why they think that way? How am I supposed to know what makes them tick if I'm not even willing to take their calls? If I'm not even willing to talk to them? With all due respect, I'm trying to get them to see the world from my point of view. I'm trying to get them to see the error in their ways. It isn't enough to just call them psychopaths or crazy. Or they don't know what they're doing or dumb or stupid. That gets nothing. That creates adversaries. That's not winning hearts and minds. And fighting with the guy who wants the same thing that I want is also hustling backwards. You want to win? Do you really want to win? Then I've got one request. Follow me. Just give me a shot. I'll be able to give you an opportunity to look at this thing from a different perspective. When somebody gives you their playbook, you read it. When somebody tells you what they're doing and what they're thinking, you listen. That's how you learn. That's how you win. Stop writing them off because they disagree with you. Stop writing them off because they won't vote the way that you want to vote. You want to win hearts and minds, you've got to be convincing. That's how you get people to vote your way. That's how you turn the tides. Otherwise, they're just the people who are your enemies. They're just the people who want to beat you. Other than that, fight amongst yourselves. I love what you're doing. I love a good fight. And while I'm paying attention to what you're fighting about, what the frustrations are, while I'm paying attention to all of those things, I'm finding a way to convince you to follow me, to get results, for you to look this way and go, you know what, maybe that guy does have a strategy. By the way, on a side note, I read everything, everything everyone's saying. And you know what's the one thing I never saw? Solutions. Not one. No one even offered one up. They didn't say, here's what we need to do. And look, I get the whole solution is get rid of Ben Proto. Then what? Get rid of Ben Proto because of what? Get rid of him? It's like when people tell me, we need younger blood. Because they're younger? If their ideas are the same, how's that better? Sounds like just dumb ideas in a younger package. We're smarter than this, folks. I hope. Be smarter. When we come back, I'm going to give a couple of ideas on how we can win. A couple of ideas. And I'm going to use the strategy that's already winning. Theirs. That's how I'm going to do it. It is real simple. Stick around. More news, more views than you can shake a stick at. We'll take your phone calls as well. And you can join us in the chat room, folks. It's Reese on the Radio on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Fan of WTIC? Then do us a favor. Download the free Odyssey app and favorite WTIC.
What's going on, all you scallywags out there? And I got a great message from Ben. Thanks, Ben. He says, beautiful monologue today, Reese. Conservative show host spent too much time preaching to the choir rather than engaging the left. I was a liberal once. Didn't really realize it, but I was. It was only through conversation and an open mind did I see things differently. Million of people like that out there. Please keep doing what you're doing. Thank you, Ben. I appreciate that. And again, this is an important thing. When I say how to win, you know, I remember getting a phone call maybe about a year ago, and I was expressing to a caller who was being, I guess, adversarial or was trying to jostle me in some way, wasn't familiar with my style or how I, you know, talk to people, like how I communicate. What I like to do is I'm usually talking to somebody who's on a different political plane than I am. I always stay calm, and I always let them know, hey, man, of course it's okay for you to disagree with me. Come on, what are you kidding me? Please, I really want to know. I immediately, and my wife says that sort of allows people to put their defenses down. And then you don't abuse them by once they put their defenses down by attacking them, right? Because once you get them chilled, then you go, but this is blah, blah, blah. And I never do that. I always let the person who disagrees with me be comfortable enough to tell me what they really think. And not just about what they believe, but what they think I believe. And I never push back on saying, well, you don't know about it. No, I want to know. No, seriously. I really want to understand. Maybe you have the answer. And I listen to them. So I'm talking to this guy on there, and he calls up the show, and he says something along the lines of, you're not changing anybody's mind. And I go, you have no idea how many minds I've changed. You have no idea. Now, people know the obvious, right? The women in my life have become more conservative. But that's easy. If they've been around me 24/7, after a while, you know, ideals shift. And if you have a goal as a family, usually if you're guiding them in the right way and you're becoming either more prosperous or, you know, successful, people start to see the error in their own ways and they go, yeah, maybe I am this way. Maybe I do see things differently than I was telling everyone. That's different. But that's not my track record. My track record is not just with people who have changed their minds politically. They've also acted on those changes by trying to get into elected office on our side. And I've got legions of those who started off very liberal, who listened to me in this capacity and others, regular communications, and then call me years later and say, man, remember that time when we were talking about such, 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 and such? You know what? You were right. I started to experience this in my way, and now I'm running for public office. I'm running for city council. I'm running for board member. And I never say a word. I never say, see, told you so. I go, oh, man, that's fantastic. Great to hear. What's your platform? Tell me about it. Because it was always about giving what they believed credibility. Not saying it was right, but that's what they want, credibility. Now, and I will say, okay, do you want to have a discussion on this? Because I may say something that may make you uncomfortable. And if that's going to be the case, if you're going to be emotional, maybe we shouldn't have the talk, you know, if you don't want to, because it sounds like it's something you're passionate about. And I would probably only irritate you if I give you my point of view. And then they go, no, you gave me the same courtesy. Now, I want to hear where you're coming from. You know, and it's not about you're right and I'm wrong. It's about having a conversation. And I do that every day. Every day I sit around, I talk to a person just like Geraldine, who listens to NPR. And when she immediately got on the defensive about, you know, what her political view, no, it isn't about that. No, seriously, your political views are just as legitimate as mine. And you listen. And if you're trying to change minds, if you're trying to figure out what these people are thinking or even why they're doing it, give them an opportunity to tell you. They already think that they're right, as most political conversations go. Usually when a person is gung-ho about what they believe, they are gung-ho and they can't wait to tell you how much they know. They can't wait to tell you how much they care. They can't wait to tell you how much better at this than you are. Give them the opportunity. Let them school you. Soak it all in. And if you are really like dyed in the wool, cement in the concrete, I mean, your feet in the concrete, kind of conservative, nothing they say will influence you anyway, but you don't ever have to let that on. You just ask. And when you do it enough times and you hear the same thing coming from this person and that person, everyone, you go, now I know what motivates them. How do I counter that? How did I counter that the next time we have a conversation? How do I counter that so I can get them to see that there may be an error in that? How do I provide evidence that says, yeah, you know, you were talking about that transgender issue the other day. I read this article that I thought was interesting. It made me think of you. And send it over. Tell me what you think. I thought about some of the stuff that you said, and this article said something related to what you were talking about. Tell me what you think. You'd be amazed what happens. But again, never fails. Not me. Never fails at it. All I want them to do is think. They already think they know. That's the thing. They already think they know where they are. And if you really think about it, folks, what have you always said when you hear these people talking about this, that, and the third? You say to yourself, do they really believe that? is that, like, it makes no sense. Well, clearly, if you know it does, but you can harp so much on how deranged it may be, or you can do the thing that all of us should do in those circumstances. What would you do if you found out a kid didn't know how to do algebra and you did? What would you do? What would you do if you found a kid who couldn't spell? Even an adult who had a hard time spelling. Let's say you knew an adult who could not remember I before E except after C. What would you do? Would you yell at him? Hey, stupid! Or would you go, yeah, I make that mistake all the time. And here's what I do to so that I remember it. I remember the first time I told my mother-in-law how to remember the road maps or the interstate, how to figure it out. If it ends in an odd number, it's north and south. If it's an even number, it's east to west. When I was no longer with her daughter, she was driving with her daughter and said, yeah, that's going northbound. That woman hated me. She goes, that's going northbound. And her daughter said, how'd you know that? She goes, I learned it from Reese. That's your job. Arguing, fighting, all that other nonsense. Unnecessary. You have to teach them. Convince them the errors of their way by actually saying it. That's what I said about New York. You're not going to be able to convince those bozos that Zoran Mamdani is not the way to go. They have to experience it. So when they were so busy screaming at me online, going, you're just mad because they won't listen to you. What are you talking about? They did exactly what I told them to do. Vote for him. Sometimes, folks, you have to cede ground. Sometimes you have to give those people exactly what they want. And then when they see the error of their ways, then when they see that they're not making any money, then they see that they're actually getting taxed out the wazoo, then when you find out that jobs are leaving and then they're losing their job, after a while, people start looking around and going, what am I voting for? And that's when you come in. And you don't even have to say, see, I told you so. You just go, yeah, it's messed up. Yeah. I tried to try to prepare people for that, but, you know, you get what you vote for. What's going on, Steve? How are you?
This is a fantastic topic.
thank you.
You know, this is what's lacking in our school system.
Mm.
The Socratic method. You heard what that is. That's when you ask somebody questions and you get them to answer their own questions and they have to think.
Boom.
Number one, what it does is it flatters them that you're asking their opinion.
That's right.
But it also puts them on the defensive because now they have to explain themselves.
That's right. And they come to the conclusion on their own without
right.
the embarrassment that you told them, right? That you taught them
right.
something.
Probably the best debater that ever lived, he doesn't get enough credit, was Jesus Christ. Whenever the Pharisees came up to him and outnumbered him and threw all kinds of questions, what did he do? He asked them questions that no matter which way they answered it, it made them look bad. He was probably the greatest debater that ever lived.
Yeah. It's, again, I found it. I remember what my days were like, Stephen, where I was screaming and hollering at folks and I got nowhere. I only created
right.
enemies. And I kept saying to myself, I was like, what am I doing wrong? And I realized
right.
I wasn't catering to, it's not about catering to their better angels, but in some ways it is about people's ego, especially when it's about disagreement.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So.
But you know, the thing is, like in ancient Greece, they had the sophists.
Mm-hmm.
Those were guys that would give you any argument for a price.
Right.
They could argue either side of the question, depending
right.
on what you wanted.
That's right. Exactly. So I'm so glad that you responded to this because
oh, absolutely.
It's again, I know that there is an ideological divide in our country. The other part is that a large degree of the divide isn't ideological. A lot of it is almost a comeuppance or payback. Because I know
right.
a large group of people who voted in these elections, when they were asked in exit polling, I voted against Trump. which means they're not voting their conscience. They're voting for revenge or vengeance, whatever the case may be. Well, good. If they're that, if their argument is that weak, use that.
Well, yeah, they want to be liked by their friends, so they're just following the crowd. It's kind of like when you got a schoolyard bully and 15 people gang up on somebody, and it's like really popular to hate this one person. It's the same thing.
Exactly. And you got to isolate everyone that you can who is motivated by that and motivate them the other way. Thank you, Steve. I really appreciate you, buddy. I got to go to a break.
Thank you. That's a great topic.
Thank you, sir. Much appreciated. Stand by. We'll be back. More news, more views than you can shake a stick at. It's Reese on the Radio on WTIC News Talk 1080.
It's Reese on the Radio on News Talk 1080 WTIC.
Bob says, isn't payback a part of the political process? Who is a bigger proponent of that than Donald Trump? Republicans need to stop trying to sanitize that reprobate. Let's try to understand exactly what this statement means. And again, I know where this is coming from. So, Bob, hear me out here. I know that it's okay or customary today to believe that the politics that we are experiencing today started with Donald Trump, that there were times where everybody was just getting along on either side of the aisle. And, you know, I've always deemed that as a very ignorant and myopic way to look at politics. Politics was far more volatile in the 60s. Far more. Nothing compared to what you're seeing right now. And Donald Trump doesn't give anybody permission to behave in any way. If you think that people are meeting Donald Trump where he is and then saying it's because of Donald Trump that they're behaving badly, that only looks poorly on the individual. It's kind of a silly argument. It's Donald Trump acts like that. I'm going to act like that too. But Donald Trump shouldn't be the arbiter of how you behave. He should not have that power. You know, somebody used to say that to me all the time. A grown man, by the way, very accomplished man, used to say, I make him feel a certain way that he had to be volatile. And it embarrassed him when I had to say, wow, I didn't know I had that much control over you. Like, I didn't know that I can actually make you feel things, that I can make you angry. That's an enormous amount of power you're giving me. And I exploited it right to his face. I said, really, so I can make you angry? Let me do it more. Let me get you angrier. Let me get you really angry. So you start cursing and screaming and hollering. And you start sweating. And then you want to fight. I love that control. Let me have more. Let me have that power. He didn't know what to do with himself. I mean, he felt like a child. And that's kind of the way I look at that statement. It's childish. I don't know how to behave because Donald Trump's a big bad man. He's a big bad meanie. That doesn't work on me. And I find that embarrassing for you to admit out loud. That's just the way I look at it. Okay. You probably have never been told that, boy. That's okay. Marky Mark, what's going on, sir?
So I know how to read the room, and I know you don't want to hear this.
I'm not going to. Look, I know what. Listen, Mark.
Let me put it in a different way, though.
Okay.
Because you just moved up here, I'd like to use that as an analogy.
Okay.
You just moved up. You don't know anybody. You got a house, and you got to put a roof on it, and you look up a general contractor.
Right.
And it's Ben Proto General Contractor, and he subs out. Wait a second, he subs out the work, and these people happen to be RTC chairmen, and they're candidates for whatever position, right?
Right.
They screw up the roof. It leaks. It's horrible, right?
Right.
Now, okay, a few months down the road, you want to put an addition on that same house with the bad roof. You go back to Ben Proto, the general contractor.
No.
He's going back. Well, this is now listen. Now it's time you come into a little money. Now you want to build a house. Are you going to go to Ben Proto?
No.
Well, that's what we've done here in Connecticut.
Oh, no.
He's been elected
Mark,
three times.
You're preaching to the Mark, you're preaching to the choir here. And again, my diatribe, although you were, and I'm going to be honest, even though you're a part of what I said in my opening comments, You're not the issue here. Like, you're not the problem. I get what you're doing. You're angry.
And I understand what you're doing.
Exactly.
You're trying to figure out how do we – well, I don't have a solution. Well, first of all – and I got to use the analogy again. You got to clean house.
Yeah, no. You are 100.
Willing to.
You are 100% right on that front. So let me. By the way, let me sort of make up what Mark and I are talking about here, and what Mark's absolute righteous criticism is. But I wouldn't do it in a way that everybody else is doing it. But the righteous criticism here is the fact that people have to be honest about the leadership of the Republican Party in Connecticut and its failures. And people who were suggesting that they're doing a good job when you had so many places flip to Democrats in this election, you are not only are you lying or being disingenuous, if it isn't those things, you're blind. And that creates a little bit of a rift. And in Mark's case, Mark is not going to stand for that. So Mark is going to call those people out. He's going to call them frauds. He's going to call them fakes and all that stuff.
Can I leave you with one thing, though?
Real
the
quick.
Ironic part is Ben Proto is blaming what?
Oh.
Money.
Yeah, saying
now,
money.
Now, Republicans, what do they always tell us about the education system when we want to dump more money in the inner cities to educate the kids?
Yeah.
Well, you can't fix it with money.
Right.
But yet, they think they could fix their own problem with money.
Right. You know what? Remember what I read yesterday? He got $3.2 million and only $81,000 was used of it on actual promotion of candidates.
It's big business, and Ben Proto is terrible at doing business. That's the bottom line.
You got it. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. No, and that's the part where Mark is right. Is the fact that, look, we cannot keep going to the same failures. We can't go to – and it's a perfect example. If it's not working, it's not working, and people need to move on. A part of this deal is – not again, this isn't a personal thing. I don't know Ben. I don't know him at all. He doesn't know me. But I've got to ask one question, and I think it's an important question to anybody. Do you want to win? I know the answer is yes. Are you winning? I know the answer is no. So you've got to keep saying, it's like, well, we're going to get better wide receivers next time around? That's not a plan. What's the plan? And coming around saying, it's like, don't worry about it, we'll get them again next year. That can't go on every year, because every time you fail, somebody's got to know that at the end of the day, someone's going to take responsibility and give it to someone else who can. That's all I'm saying. All right? We'll get into some headlines when we return. It is time to go to the WTIC newsroom with John Silva. We'll talk about one of the stories he's covering in Virginia. It's Reese on the Radio.